The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Well, if you take your Bibles and open to Psalm 33, I'll be preaching out of Psalm 33 this morning. We're going to read the entire chapter, Psalm 33, and verses 1 through 22. If you're visiting with us this morning, I've been preaching a series of messages entitled Stand, Standing for the Faith. And then last week we transitioned a little bit. I preached a message dealing with standing at the judgment seat of Christ. And this morning, as we look at Psalm 33, and really, this morning is going to be a patriotic message. At least I hope it's going to be a patriotic message. I want to tie some things together. And I understand this, and we need to understand this, that the throne of grace is not draped in red, white, and blue. But nonetheless, and you and I as a church, we understand that. That's why we support over 40 missionaries around the world. Amen? But nonetheless, I love our country. These messages are always hard for me to get through, but today I came prepared. I have a handkerchief. But I love my country. And I hope, and I'm sure you love your country too. It's the greatest country in the world. And we have a lot of flaws, we have a lot of problems, we have a lot of difficulties. But the hope of our country is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's really the gist of the message. And just some to remind us of some things today. And that's the direction we're going to go in. But to follow along, if you would, as I read through Psalm 33, the psalmist said this, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. For praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee." Let's pray. Father, bless now the preaching of the Word. I ask that you'd help me as I bring this message, that you'd use me as your instrument and your vessel this morning to accomplish your purpose for us being here. Thank you, Lord, as we've already been allowed and enabled to lift up our voices and to worship you. Thank you for that part of the service. We're thankful for the offering that has been received as an act of worship. We're thankful for the choir as an act of worship. And now, Lord, help our attentiveness to the preaching of the Word and to the wooing of the Holy Spirit also be an act of worship. Help us to block out the cares of the week coming up or the week behind, and just to focus in these next several minutes on these truths, and to allow your Spirit to speak to our hearts. And truly, Lord, if there be one here today that is without Christ, they've never been saved, I pray that you'd move upon their heart, bring conviction, help them to realize that without Christ, there is no hope. And that today they can call upon Jesus, have their sins forgiven and washed away, and have an eternal home in heaven. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I believe that America is an exceptional country. I believe that God has been instrumental in planting this country and using this country in a great way. Using this country to spread the gospel throughout the world. I do believe in American exceptionalism. And I think that when we fail to realize just how great God has been and how blessed we are as a nation, we become an unthankful people. In verses 11 down through really the end of this chapter, close to the end of this chapter, really five simple points that I drew as I read through this. And of course, I have these on your handout. We published a portion of the Declaration of Independence in the bulletin, and with the exception, of course, of the Word of God, perhaps no greater document ever written. And someone once said this, that the Declaration of Independence as for us as Americans is the why we exist, and the Constitution of the United States is the how we exist. And I like that. That's true. But the reason we exist is found in the Word of God. And God's just moved on this country and moved on the founders of this country in a very great way. And we should never forget that. So really, if you look at verse 11, here's our first number point. Our point number one is our founders. Verse 11 says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations." Listen, all one has to do is travel to Washington, D.C., and look on the buildings and on the monuments to see that our founders were influenced by the Word of God. There's Scripture everywhere that you look. One of our young men that's in our teen group is with his band in Washington this week. The local high school band is I think they're playing at the 4th of July gala or something down there. But they are going to, little Mikey is going to go and he's going to get a tour of the Capitol building. And they're going to take him into the House of Representatives. I hope that they take him there. And if you've ever been in the House of Representatives, if I was representative here of the Speaker of the House. Thank you, Ethan. The Speaker of the House, and then all of the representatives are seated out there, just as you are. But when you look around the room there, there are different silhouettes of either patriotic figures or philosophers, people like Aristotle. But in the very back, directly in the back of that room, is a silhouette. Actually, it's a full frontal picture of a replica of a likeness, I suppose, of Moses. It's Moses looking down. It's kind of interesting because all of the other silhouettes are looking sideways, but Moses is looking down. And we were told when we had a tour of the House of Representatives, is the reason that Moses is looking down upon that body is a reminder of our Christian Judeo ethics that this country was founded upon. You see that all over the Capitol building. By the way, I'll say this too. There are many in this country that would like for all of those things to be removed, for us not to be reminded of that. But the Bible tells us, and we're reminded here, that the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His hearts to all generation. On your handout, I wrote for you James chapter 1 and verse 25. James says this, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So what is the law of liberty? That's the Word of God. We look into the Word of God and to the truths of God's Word. Listen, there is freedom when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And a wonderful freedom. And so our freedoms that we have in this country really can find their roots in the fact that our founders looked to the Word of God. Out of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, I read the other day that 54 of them professed belief in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that all of them were born-again, Bible-believing Christians, but they all at least recognized Christ for who He was, and they recognized the Word of God. It's important for us to remember that. It's the roots, it's the foundation of where we are, who we are as a people. And that they took their counsel as those documents, whether it was the Declaration of Independence or some years later, the Constitution of the United States, they took their counsel from the Word of God. They took their counsel from prayer. We should never forget that. Look at, if you would, in chapter number 33 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth." We realize, I think, don't we, this morning, that what a privilege it is, what a freedom just to be able to hold this book in our hands, the Bible, that we could go to different countries, different places around the world today, that to own one of these precious books, the Word of God, is illegal, that you could be cast into prison, that you could be put to death for that. What a blessing it is. Don't ever take it for granted that we can that we can come to church and open our Bibles or even have Bibles in our home and we can draw from the Word of God. But that's how our country was founded. Listen to this. This was written on our country's 200th anniversary back in 1976. This was in Newsweek magazine, which was probably one of the most liberal publications this country has ever produced. They said this, "For centuries, the Bible has exerted an unrivaled influence on American culture, politics, and social life. Now, historians are discovering that the Bible, perhaps even more than the Constitution, is our founding document. The source of the powerful myth of the United States as a special, sacred nation, a people called by God to establish a model society, a beacon to the world." If you're my age, you can remember President Reagan often saying that he thought of this country as a shining city on a hill, and that it was a place that the world could look to, a place there that freedom and liberty was presented to the world, an example. But so much of it's based upon the Word of God and the liberties that we have. The psalmist said, "I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." And if our country would once again turn to the Word of God and to the things of God, we would find, as individuals, we would find collectively the freedoms that God has and wants for all of our lives. That we would, in our own personal life, find that liberty and that freedom that our founders saw and founders understood. And so the psalmist reminds us that the counsel of the Lord, it stands forever. Our founders knew that. And then look at verse 12. Our purpose. Well, what is our purpose? What is our purpose as individuals and what is our purpose as a nation? Well, the Bible says that blessed is the nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. What is our purpose? Our purpose, whether individually or our purpose collectively, is to glorify God. That's our purpose. That's why we exist. That's why we get saved. To glorify God. Everything about in life is about glorifying God. One of the first verses I ever memorized as a new believer was Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Of course, these verses that I put for you on the notes dealing with liberty, they're not really talking about political liberty. They're talking about spiritual liberty. That's why in even some of the worst regimes around the world, men and women, boys and girls, if they'll put their faith and trust in Christ, while they may not have political liberty, they may not have even religious liberty to do what you and I are doing, but in their hearts they can have a freedom and they can have a liberty that many people who do not know Christ, even in a country like ours, they can have a liberty and a freedom because they know Jesus as their Savior. We, during our missions conference in November, one of our Sundays, we devote to the persecuted church around the world. Places like Korea and many of the Middle Eastern countries that our men and women have shed their blood for. And many who will not enjoy this 4th of July with their family and friends because they gave their life for their country. Or I look out this morning. One of our families lost their dad this past year. They regularly post in memory of him, a picture of him in uniform. I think of Ginny's dad fighting World War II. I think of Donna Hartlidge's brother who never came back from Vietnam. They understood their purpose. They understood what freedom was all about. They loved their country. I've often said the greatest way you and I can love our country is to love Jesus Christ. We'll put Christ first. We'll be godly. It's one of the greatest patriotic acts I believe that you and I could ever accomplish. Because when we do that, we understand that this nation was founded by God. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We would look to God. Our country would look to God. If our leaders would look to God. I don't have a lot of hope in the political system of our country. But I do have a lot of hope in Jesus Christ. It could be a tough election year coming up. But I have hope in Jesus Christ. I do. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's our purpose. The liberty that we have in Christ. And we're reminded in Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You know, I was just a little boy, but the President of the United States then in the 1960s was John F. Kennedy. And one of his famous statements was this. I usually get this backwards. Let's see if I can get it right. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, but rather, he said, ask what you can do for your country. And so true that statement is. How we've moved away from that today when we've become such a country that everyone feels like they're entitled to something. When we ought to be giving all to the country, everybody expects the country to give something to them. And that's it. And there's a spiritual application to that. When we stand in the liberty and the freedoms that we have in Christ, it is to serve the Lord. Sometimes we hear someone has been chosen by an administration to serve in that administration, and they say something like this. Well, they say, we serve at the pleasure of the President of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve at the pleasure of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who we serve. Everything else drops below that. So just live your life every day as an American citizen, serving at the pleasure of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's our purpose. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Bible tells us that you and I, we are to be the salt of the earth. And if the salt hath lost its savor, what good is it? The Bible says that a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. You don't take a candle and hide it under a bushel. You let the candle shine brightly. And you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, who have accepted Christ as our Savior, let our countrymen, let our citizens, let the world see Christ living in and through us. That's how we bring glory to God. No greater patriotic act. That's our purpose. And then our greatness in verse 14. The Bible says, or look at verse 13 and 14. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Look at verse 5 of chapter 33. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Look, it is without question that the Lord looked down upon this country. Everything, I don't want to get into an entire history lesson, but the very founding of this country, the days of the Pilgrims and the Puritans and just the miraculous way that this country was founded, you just see the hand of God, the hand of God, the hand of God, the hand of God. Our greatness. Like, I don't mean to be political, but when Donald Trump says that we're going to make America great again, not unless Donald Trump turns to Jesus Christ. Because without Christ, there's no hope. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. God has looked down upon us. Our greatness is in Christ. Our greatness is found in our core belief in the Judeo-Christian ethics found in the Word of God. Proverbs 14:34 says this. Now, look again at verse 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Proverbs 14:31 says, 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You and I as believers, we need to live righteous lives. No, we're not going to live perfect lives, but we can live righteous lives. We can be in the Word of God. We can be under the preaching of the Word of God. We can be in our prayer life and praying for one another, praying for our country. That's where our greatness comes from. The Lord loves righteousness. The Lord blesses righteousness. And then we're reminded in verse 16 of the greatness or our dependence upon the Lord. Look at verse 16. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. You know who came to find that out better than anyone else? The King of England. Because during the American Revolution, the British Army was the greatest military force in the world. And realistically, just a ragtag group of American patriots, with, I believe, God's help and God's providence, beat back the greatest military force in the world. So when the psalmist said, there is no king saved by a multitude of hosts, A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. I appreciate the men and women who serve in our military and who have served in our military. And I've already mentioned some of the sacrifices of those men, even found right here in this congregation. And I believe that the military of the United States is the greatest fighting force in the world today. But I also realize this. The Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That if God's not in it, it doesn't matter how many guns you have, it doesn't matter how many tanks that you have, it doesn't matter how many planes that you have. Our dependence must be in the Lord. It must be in the Lord. The book of Proverbs says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 5 and 6 say, trust. Listen, most of you know this. Say it out loud with me as I get started. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all of our ways, our dependence, it must be upon Him. Our founders understood that. They understood their purpose. They understood the greatness. They understood that the dependence was upon God. When the Congress met, it was, I believe, Benjamin Franklin who said, during the Declaration of Independence, when they were going back and forth, it was Benjamin Franklin that stopped the proceedings and said, men, I think we need to spend some time in prayer. And on that hot July day in Philadelphia, they did. They spent time in prayer. And God moved upon that assembly of men and their Declaration of Independence. And the vote was taken on July the 3rd to declare our independence from England. Our dependence as a nation, our dependence individually, it must be on the Lord in everything that we do. We trust in Him. And our protection. Verse 18 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Listen, we're reminded that our protection comes from the Lord. And I believe that America has existed all of these years and God has protected us. Because of our core values, because of our roots, because of our outreach into the world. I believe that with all my heart. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, or in 10 years. I don't know. But I believe with all my heart that we're still here today. We're still in existence today. Because men and women just like you that are sitting here believe in God. You believe in this country. You pray for this country. You pray for one another. You understand your dependence is upon God, and you understand our protection comes from the Lord. Listen, in Psalm chapter 33 and verses 8 and 9, it says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Listen, the God that we worship, the God that we serve, He spoke everything into existence. And so the reality is, it's a very small thing for God to protect us. It's a very small thing. But it's a great thing. I love our country. I really do. I hope you love it too. I hope on this 4th of July weekend we're reminded of our roots, we're reminded of our past, we're reminded of our founders, our documents, their dependence upon God and the things of God. Like sometimes I get caught up when I preach a message like this, I feel I was more emotional than anything else. So if I wasn't, I apologize. But I just love this country. I pray for it all the time. But just remember why we're here. Remember these simple points. We sang, "My Country, 'Tis of Thee." It reminded us of patriots past. Verse 21 and 22, and I'm done. "For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee." Let me just finish by saying this. Have you trusted in His name? Have you trusted in Him? Have you asked Him to be your Savior? The Bible clearly tells us that all of us are born into this world as sinners. "For all have sinned," the Bible says, "and come short of the glory of God. For there is none righteous, no, not one." And Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago to die and pay for your sin. He hung on an old rugged cross. He fought the greatest battle that the world has ever seen, over death and over hell. He was buried, and 3 days later He rose from the dead victorious over death and over hell. The greatest Independence Day you will ever experience is the day that you receive Christ as your Savior. He will set you free from the world. He will set you free from the three enemies that the Bible tells us that we fight against in the book of James. We fight against the world, we fight against Satan, we fight against the flesh. Well, the day that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He'll give you the ability to be independent from the world, to be independent from the flesh, and to be independent from Satan. But you must receive Christ. You must realize that you're a sinner. You must realize that you're lost and on your way to hell. You must realize that. Patriotism doesn't save anyone. It's a good thing to be patriotic, but it doesn't save anyone. It's a good thing to sing about America, but it won't save anyone. It's great to pledge allegiance to the flag, but it won't save anyone. Only your personal faith in Jesus Christ will save you. Have you trusted in His holy name? "Whosoever," the Bible says, "shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So that's the eternal question. That's the greatest Independence Day there is, to put your faith and trust in Christ. Would you bow your heads for a word of prayer? This morning, with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, if you're here today, you might say, "Well, I'm not sure that I'm a Christian, preacher. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure." Well, you can be sure. I trust that the Spirit of God has moved upon your heart and brought conviction to your heart. And as the Word of God went forth, you came to realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed this morning, I would say to you this. I said, "Listen, maybe you're sitting there and you say, 'You know, I'd like to be saved. I'd like to receive Christ as my Savior. I'd like to put my faith and trust in Him. You know, I am patriotic and I love our country. But I want a relationship with Jesus Christ.' Well, if that's you this morning, would you do this? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to ask you to do anything except for this. If you're that person that says, 'You know, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven,' would you just slip up your hand and put it down? You say, 'I'd like to be sure, preacher. I'd like to know without a shadow of a doubt, anywhere at all. I've never asked Christ to be my Savior.' Then for you that are here this morning that have already received Christ, would you do this? Again, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands and ask you to do anything, but just think about this. Would you begin to regularly pray for this country? Pray for God to move in this country, for God to bring a great revival to this country. Some might say, "You know, I think it's just too late." Listen, study the revivals in the Bible. study the revival historically. These revivals took place at some of the darkest periods in different nations' history. And people had no interest in God, no interest in the Bible. Pray for this country. Pray for the leadership of this country. Live your life for the glory of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's one of the greatest patriotic acts you can ever do. Father, bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts. Work in our midst as only you can. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.